So today we're going to be looking at lesson six, and we're going to be focusing on Jesus Christ. I've called it the historical view. Now, it only fits that after our last lesson where we talked about unity and Trinity with regards to God, focusing on the issue of the Trinity where we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it would only be natural for us to proceed and talk about Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So let's get into it today. We're going to talk about historical views, but let me kind of give you an understanding why we're going to look at the historical views, first of all. Because what I want you to see is that, first of all, there are some common thoughts today about Jesus. Now, what do you mean common thoughts? Well, what I want you to understand is that what we have today is thoughts that folks, no matter what they believe, have about Jesus and the reaction to them. And so the first thing I want to point out to you that folks are gravitating on, especially even in the church, is that all that really matters is that you believe in Jesus Christ. And you'll hear people talk about that. They'll basically say, doesn't matter what they believe completely, doesn't matter how they live their life, all that matters is that they believe Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to find out when we go through these historical views, all of them believed in Jesus, but it wasn't necessarily the same things, and what we're going to see is some of them were just flat out wrong. So it's really important for you and I to realize that this statement that we make that all that matters is that we believe in Jesus is not necessarily true. Now, why is that a problem in the church? Well, there is a tendency to accept anyone as Christian based on non-biblical standards. So what we have happening, especially in the last 30 or so years, is all you need to do is just believe in Jesus. But the reason why we accept you and we think that you're okay and maybe even are a Christian has nothing to do with what the Bible says or what you believe about what the Bible says concerning Jesus and his salvation. It might have actually something more to do with how moral you are in your behavior and what you advocate for. It might have something to do with who you vote for. That seems to be a really big one these days, as well as other things. And so you see people who are being accepted by Christians today as being good people and, quote, believers, when in actuality, the basis for why they are being accepted really has nothing to do with the Bible or what the Bible says about Jesus. Now, the problem emerges that what you believe about Jesus has implications concerning the salvation he offers. Now, what am I trying to say there? Simply just saying you believe Jesus, but what you believe about Jesus isn't biblical. What you believe about Jesus isn't fact. What you believe about Jesus is actually wrong. That's going to have implications about whether or not you have experienced salvation. We tend to think that all we need to do is just pray a prayer and ask Jesus into our heart. But we could believe that Jesus isn't anything, just some simple teacher. But if I pray that prayer, then I'm going to be okay. Listen, folks, it's not a prayer that saves you. It's a belief and a commitment to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, deity, fully human. And he is the only one who can bring you salvation. You couldn't bring it salvation on yourself. You know that. There's nothing you could do. You're a sinner. Only one person could pay the price for your sin. That's the one who was perfect. Now, only one could be perfect. The one who was fully human and fully God, Jesus Christ. But if you deny those things about him, or somebody denies those things about them, you can't say that they know Christ and have salvation. There's no way to believe that. Now, this is the problem that emerges. So as we enter into this discussion about Jesus Christ, we've got to talk about the views that are out there concerning him. We're going to talk about views within Christianity, and we're also going to talk about views from other religions. Now, why are we going to look at that? Well, because we live in a culture today where basically everyone says that all religions believe the same thing. Well, we're going to find out that they don't, especially concerning the person of Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the views within Christianity. And we're going to talk about, through church history, several groups that have emerged that were wrong. And we're going to end up with the proper view. So let's talk about views. So first of all, I want to talk about the Ebionites. The Ebionites. Now, that is probably an unusual name to you. We don't really have that many Ebionites running around today. But in the early church, that is, in the first years of the faith, before the church basically became more Gentile, in the early years, the church was basically made up of Jews. So the Ebionites were a remnant of extreme Judaizing Christianity. Now, what do you mean by Judaizing, George? Well, what I mean by Judaizing is this. These were believers, and this emerged out of the Jerusalem church. Paul had to deal with them through a lot of his letters, and they were basically saying that you had to keep the law of Moses. So they imposed these restrictions on dietary and what a person could eat and couldn't eat. They also imposed on Gentile believers the issue of circumcision. And so they were a remnant of this extreme thing happening in Christianity at the time. Now, here's what they taught about Jesus. And it's going to be very interesting for you and I to understand this, because they thought they were Christians, but the problem is they had their view of Jesus that was wrong. So what did they teach? Well, they taught that Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, so fulfilled the Mosaic law that God chose him to be the Messiah. So rather than saying that he is the Messiah, which we know that, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He was born the Messiah. He was the Messiah before he was born. They say because he was the son of Mary and Joseph, and because he kept the law, the Mosaic law, perfectly, he fulfilled the law. It is because of that that God chose him to be the Messiah. So what's happening here? Well, God chose Jesus to be the Messiah at his baptism by John the Baptist. So they look in the Gospel of John, where John is baptizing Jesus, and they see the Holy Spirit come upon him, and God the Father speaks from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And they would say that's when God chose him. So they're twisting the scripture. So the reality is that these folks were denying his deity or even denying the relationship within the Trinity. So at his baptism, they would say that Jesus received the Holy Spirit. That's when he received the Holy Spirit. So another thing that they denied, the Ebionites denied the virgin birth of Jesus, and they denied his deity. So they would not believe that he was born of a virgin. They would say he was the result of natural sexual relationships between Mary and Joseph. Now, we know that's not true because the Gospels teach us completely different. And they would deny that he was deity, that he was God. Now, this is the reality that we see here. Very first thing, here are some folks who believe in Jesus, but what they believe is so messed up and so twisted by their view of Scripture that what they portray about salvation is ultimately going to be affected because they stripped Jesus of who he really was and what really happened with him. Now, that's going to bring us now to our second group that we're going to be looking at here today. Now, this group you might have heard of before. It's called the Gnostics. The Gnostics. Now, Gnosticism or Gnostic comes from the Greek word reflecting knowledge. So these are folks who were focused on special knowledge. They thought that they had special knowledge. So what we see here is just like with the Ebionites, they were presenting a perversion of the Jewish concept of Jesus Christ. The Gnostics present the Gentile perversion of the truth concerning Jesus Christ. So the Gnostics were presenting what would be a Gnostic falsehood concerning who Jesus was. In fact, we see that John, in his first epistle, is kind of trying to address them a little bit about it. And I'll make some distinctions as we go through what they believed. So here's what I want you to understand. The Gnostic system was based on a dualism, the spirit and the flesh. So their basis for their beliefs came from that the world could be divided into two things, the spirit and then the flesh. Now, for them, the Gnostics, the spirit was good, but the flesh was evil. Now, the problem is that Jesus is both spirit and flesh. Now, they had a hard time reconciling that. The flesh was considered evil, therefore, God could not become flesh. So therefore, they could not grasp that Jesus was deity. Because if he was deity, why would he take on flesh? So again, that's going to mess with the whole concept of who Jesus is, and therefore mess ultimately with the concept of the reality of salvation. So the Gnostics viewed the person of Jesus in two ways. So you had different groups within Gnosticism, and they viewed Jesus in two separate ways. So let's talk about the first one. First, the divine Christ came upon the human Jesus at his baptism and departed from him shortly before his death. Now, what's happening here? What's happening here is this. Remember, these folks saw the world in two ways, either spirit or flesh. Flesh is evil, so therefore spirit and flesh can't be. So how do you explain Jesus Christ? What they say is the divine Christ, that's the spirit part, came upon the human Jesus when? At his baptism. That's kind of like what they see with the Ebionites thinking about it happened at the baptism. But what they're saying is that the spirit part couldn't die. So therefore, the spirit part left, and his flesh, the human Jesus, was the one who was crucified and died. That's one view. The second, some Gnostics held that Jesus was actually a phantom, or should I say a ghost, who had the appearance of flesh. So Jesus was actually not in human flesh, but actually was an apparition or something that was there that kind of looked like flesh, but wasn't. And the problem is again, this goes against the scripture. So that makes sense when you come to 1 John chapter 1, and he begins his gospel by talking about that which we have seen, that which we have handled. He talks about physically handling Jesus. Why is he doing that? Because the Apostle John is beginning to address this false view of Jesus Christ. Now, let's stop. We've talked about two views, one that originated out of a perverse thinking that emerged among the Jewish believers at the time, and then now those who that emerged among the Gentile believers, that's Gnosticism. Are they the same Jesus that you believe in? So if you think back to our statement in the earlier, is all you need to do is believe in Jesus and it's okay. The fact is, no. You don't understand. There's got to be more to it than that. Here we have two different groups that we've gone through so far. They all believe in Jesus, but what they believe about him is wrong. It's not anyway correct, and of course that's going to affect the whole issue of salvation. This is why it's important to know what you believe about him. So let's get into the third group, the Arians. Now, when we talk about Arians, this emerged in the 4th century. So the 4th century, the Arians held that though Jesus may be called God, he is not true God. So this was a very big viewpoint that emerged in the church in the 4th century. and it caused some major problems. They held that Jesus was in no way equal to God in essence and eternity. So what they're saying here is that Jesus is in no way like God the Father. So he's not complete or full deity. No way that he is in eternity, always existing. Again, that contradicts a lot of things about what Scripture says, especially when you come to the book of Revelation, where it talks about him being the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, which are basically describing his eternality, his deity. They held that Jesus was in no way equal to God. Before time, this is what they were thinking, Jesus was created as the Logos of God who entered the human body at the incarnation. So again, that's kind of like with the Gnostic view where they talked about the divine Christ entered the flesh of Jesus. Here, the Arians said that Jesus was created as the Logos of God. Now, where do we get the Logos from? Well, again, John chapter 1, where it talks about, and the Word became flesh. The Logos became flesh. So they see Jesus as being created as the Logos, and he entered the human body at the incarnation. Therefore, they held that he was neither fully God or fully human. Now, that's kind of weird, but that's where they're at. They said he couldn't be fully God and he couldn't be fully human. Now, again, that is so wrong. And that's what they believe. But the problem was, is they were declared to be a heresy long ago in one of the first church councils, because it took away from the reality of who Jesus was and the salvation that he offers. Well, that's going to bring us to another group that we can focus on right now. It's the Apollinarians. Interesting name, but again, you understand, we're talking about a world where Greek language is very much affecting the way the empire is speaking at the time, and the Apollinarians were an issue. Now, here's what they were holding on to. The Apollinarians argued that Jesus had a true body, get ready for this, a true body and animal soul, but not a rational spirit or mind. That's some crazy thinking. This is obviously not normal thinking concerning Jesus. So obviously what they believe about Jesus isn't the same thing that you and I believe about Jesus. But if you think about the common thought that we have today, that all that matters is that you believe about Jesus, notice the way that thought rolls, it's not what you think about him, it's just that you think about him, that you believe him. Well, these folks were believing he had a true body and an animal soul, but not a rational spirit and mind. Now, how did that matter for Jesus? Well, the Logos, again, they're reflecting on the Logos filled the place of human intelligence for him. So this makes Jesus rather weird and unusual. And this is what these folks believe. So this view did not honor the deity of Jesus, but it also had the effect of destroying his full humanity. So he was not fully human because he's got an animal soul and not an intellect of his own, but it didn't even honor the reality that he was God. So again, these folks don't believe the same Jesus, not the Jesus that is needed to be believed in for the salvation that is offered. Now, let's move on to another group. This is another historical group, the Nestorians. Now, the interesting thing about the Nestorians is that they spread all the way into China. And you can go to China today, and there is a stone there. It's called the Nestorian Stone, and it reflects the reality that Christianity, or this form of Christianity, made it into China many, many years ago, in the earlier years of Christianity. Now, what did they believe? Well, the Nestorians denied the union of Jesus' deity and humanity into one person. Now, we believe that Jesus is fully God and fully human in one person. Well, they couldn't grasp that. They denied that's not possible to be fully God and to be fully human, and there's no way that he could be both in one person. But again, they're thinking back to the Logos, the Word. The Logos dwelt in the man Jesus, so the union was similar to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So like you and I are indwelt by the Holy Spirit when we came to faith in Jesus Christ. They say that's what happened with Jesus. He was indwelt by the Logos. Now, there's a big problem with this, because this view endangered the deity of Jesus Christ. So it's endangering the whole concept that he's fully God, that, quote, the Logos inhabited him. So that's really a wrong view concerning who he is. Now, there's another group that we need to focus in. Now, you probably, let me just pause for a moment, because you're probably saying, whoa, these are the viewpoints that are out there. These are the historical viewpoints that are out there that folks that are still out there today. Old heresies don't disappear. They just take on different appearances. And when you talk about people and saying, oh, I believe in Jesus, you need to dig a little bit deeper. What exactly do you believe about Jesus? Before you immediately say, oh, they're okay, they're one of us. Well, the reality is they may not be one of you. So let's talk about another group, the Eutychians. Interesting name. But these are folks that had a very unusual view about Jesus Christ. So the Eutychians held that there were no two natures in Christ, but only one. So we would believe that Jesus Christ had two natures. He was fully human and fully God. Now the reality is they believe that couldn't be possible, so he had only one nature. Now here's the problem. They held that all of Christ was divine, including his body. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, what I want you to understand is this. So again, they're denying that he's fully God and fully human. But so what they did is they came to the grasping, well, he has to be God, so therefore all of him was God. And he wasn't human. His body was God. So he was always different, something special. Now, we see that he becomes something special after the resurrection, when he rises from the dead. We know that from the Gospels in the reality of the interaction that the disciples had with him before his ascension. But they would hold that Jesus was always like that. There is no way that he could be human flesh. In fact, they had a really weird view. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, the divine and human were mingled into one, which constituted, are you ready for this, a third nature. So rather than saying he had two natures, they're saying now he has this special nature where the human and the divine are mixed together, and it's this third nature, really weird and unusual. Well, that brings us within Christianity to our final viewpoint that we need to look at, and it's called the Orthodox view. Now, I need to explain to you what I mean by Orthodox, because you might think, because we have them in our area, you might think, well, this is the viewpoint of the Orthodox churches in our area. Well, let me help you understand what Orthodox means. The word Orthodox means what is generally or traditionally accepted as right or true. So when I say Orthodox, I'm using a small O rather than a large O. So when we think about Orthodox churches, that's a denomination, large O. When we talk about Orthodox viewpoint, we're talking about that which is generally or traditionally accepted within Christianity as right or true. And so what we talk about here is this: there is one Jesus Christ, but he has two natures, human and divine. So the Orthodox view would say that Jesus Christ is fully human, was born fully human, and He's fully God. At no point did he lay aside his deity. He was always fully human and fully God. So Jesus Christ is fully God and fully human. That is the Orthodox view. That is the view even of our church. That is the proper view. And it's only through that view that you can come to a proper understanding of what it means to get saved. Because in order to be saved, it's not praying a prayer, it's not being baptized, it's not even going to church. None of that means anything, because you can't do anything for your sin. But somebody else had to stand in your place to receive the punishment. And that was Jesus. And the only one who could do that is Jesus, who, first of all, lived among us, so he experienced what we did, yet without sin. But he was also fully God, in that he was perfect without sin. So therefore, he could be the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sin. And that salvation is available to you if you have faith in him who is fully human and fully God, Jesus Christ, and what he did for you. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, these are the views within Christianity. Now, I've just mentioned some of the historical views to you. There are a lot more views out there. And what my point is that I need you to understand, just because someone says they're Christian and they believe in Jesus, that's not enough. You have to dig a little bit deeper into what they believe, whether their view is orthodox or correct or traditional in the sense of what we believe about him, or whether it is wrong or heretical. Now, those are the views within Christianity. Now, I want to hit on, as we move towards the end of our study today in Sunday school, I want to hit on the reality of the fact that there are views about Jesus in other religions. And so I'd like to focus on five of those views here with you. So let's, first of all, take a look at the view of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, George, you're talking about the Mormons, right? And aren't they a Christian denomination? Well, that's what our culture, the American culture, says. But in reality, they are not a Christian denomination. Now, they are a Christian-based religion, but what you're going to find out is what they believe about Jesus is not in any way what you believe. So let's talk about some things that they believe, and especially concerning the person of Jesus. So here's what I want you to see. The first thing I want you to understand is this. Mormons believe Jesus was the spirit child of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. So they believe that he's a spirit child. Whoa, that is not in any way the Orthodox viewpoint that we believe. This is something completely wrong. It doesn't get better, folks. Listen more. Mormons believe that Jesus became the Redeemer because he had a better strategy than Lucifer. In fact, Mormons believe that Satan, or Lucifer, is the brother of Jesus, and they had different plans for mankind, and Jesus's plan was better than Lucifer, so therefore that plan was accepted. Now again, that is totally out of what we believe historically within Christianity. Jesus is the Son of God. Lucifer is a fallen angel. They are not the same. Lucifer is a created being. Jesus is God. They are not brothers, but Mormons believe they are brothers. Now, are you beginning to understand something here? That what they believe about Jesus is completely different than what you believe. Let's continue on. Mormons believe Jesus' greatest atoning work was in Gethsemane, not on the cross. So they believe that what he went through in the garden was more important as far as his atoning work for our sins than being crucified on a cross. Now, again, that is, again, completely out of the realm of Orthodox viewpoint, traditional viewpoint that we hold to, where we say it is the sacrifice on the cross that brings about the atoning work within our life that brings about salvation. Here's another one. Mormons believe in a historical Jesus, but not the biblical Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? They believe that Jesus was a person, but again, when you have to see, they have an additional revelation, the Book of Mormon, and that's where you're introduced to the concept that he has a brother named Lucifer and his strategy won. That's not the biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus is something completely different. So therefore, they can't believe the biblical Jesus. They can only believe that Jesus was this great teacher and that he went through what he went through. And the reality is what we believe is concerning the biblical Jesus. Now, this is the first religion that we're talking about here, other religion and their viewpoint. Let's move on to one that you're aware of. In fact, Christianity emerged out of this one, and it's Judaism. That is the Old Testament Mosaic system of the Jews that was given to them by God through Moses on Mount Sinai, but we know there is the Messiah has come. Now, let's talk about them. The reality is, as we know from the New Testament, that they reject Jesus. So here's what I want you to understand. You need to grasp this. Judaism rejects that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. To this day, they do not accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Bottom line, period. In fact, Paul makes that very clear in Romans chapter 9 through 11, where he talks about that the Jews right now are under blindness, spiritual blindness, until the fulfillment or the full number of the Gentiles is reached. And so they reject any concept of Jesus being the Messiah. They have historically been that way. They are that way to this day. Now, however, though, Judaism can admire his life and his teaching. Now, they would recognize that he, Jesus, was a Jew, so therefore what he was teaching and his life that is reflected in the Gospels, they can admire that and maybe even reflect on it and learn from it, but they again still reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. All right, let's continue on. We're going to move on to another one that is a major one. And that is Islam. Islam, now, that would reflect those who are Muslim. Now, what exactly do they believe about Jesus? Well, they believe in Jesus, but it's not the same thing that you and I believe. So let's talk about it. So first of all, the Quran emphasizes Jesus as a prophet. So the first thing is they accept that Jesus is a prophet, and he was a great prophet. But he's not like Muhammad. Muhammad is greater. The reality is that Jesus was just a prophet. Doesn't end there. The Quran emphasizes that he is unique in creation, born out of a virgin, and a messenger from God. So they believe all of these things. They believe that he's unique, he's different, he's special. They would say he was born out of a virgin, and they would say he was a messenger from God. Now, that's about where it ends. Muslims do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God and find this highly offensive. Now, I find it interesting. A lot of times I talk to folks and they'll talk about talking to a Muslim and trying to witness to them, and the first thing they go to is the reality that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, immediately, that's going to be very offensive to the Muslims that you're trying to talk to, because in their mind, remember, they're monotheists. They don't believe in a Trinity. They're monotheists. They only believe in one God. And so they would say, when you say he's the Son of God, in their thinking, they're thinking that God had sex with Mary. And that could not possibly be true. Therefore, that is offensive. And so they find it very offensive when we focus in on our witnessing and our sharing with them that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, all right, so let me just stop for a moment. We've talked about several groups now. We've talked about the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints. We've talked to Mormons. We've talked about Judaism, the Jews, and we've talked about Islam, the Muslims. The fact is they all believe in Jesus, but what they believe about Jesus is not the same thing that we believe, and it is in no way going to lead them to salvation, true salvation. In fact, they reject any concept of what we believe for salvation. Well, that's going to bring us on to another two groups that we need to focus in on. Hinduism. Hinduism. Now, within Hinduism, Jesus Christ is generally revered as a great spiritual teacher. Now, in Hinduism, they believe in many gods. They're polytheists, thousands of gods. But with Jesus, they would revere him as a great spiritual teacher. Now, here's what else. He is also seen as a divine manifestation or a avatar or a realized saint. So he's reached this higher spiritual plane in their thinking and so forth. Again, totally different than what we are thinking. He would fit into the broader Hindu understanding of divine incarnations or enlightened beings rather than a singular, exclusive savior. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A Hindu could not accept that statement. No man comes unto the Father except through me. They could not accept that statement. To them, he's just a divine incarnation or this enlightened being. But he's not the sole means for salvation. A Hindu could not believe that. So again, I want you to understand, just because somebody says they believe in Jesus doesn't mean that they truly understand the Jesus that you do. Well, that's going to lead us to our final group, Buddhism. Buddhism. Now, Buddhists are completely different than Hindus, although they live near each other and interact with each other, but Buddhism has a different viewpoint about Jesus. So what do we see here? Buddhists generally view Jesus as a highly compassionate, awakened spiritual teacher. So to them, Jesus, again, is this really special spiritual teacher. He's awakened. Awakened to what? To a higher reality. He exemplified love, sacrifice, and ethical living, though not as a divine Son of God or the sole Savior. So I want you to see this. So again, he's exemplifying all these things because they promote a perfect life or achieving a perfect life, but they don't view him as divine, as God, or the sole Savior. Again, they view there would be many ways to come to Christ. And that, my friends, is what you and I need to see. So let's get back to what we talked about earlier. When we talked about the reality of what the current thinking is, and the sad thing for me is, the current thinking is not just out in the world, although it's reflective of the world. I am actually bothered by the reality that this thinking has a foothold in the churches today. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, again, there's this thought that all that really matters is that you believe in Jesus. Now, folks, I just went through multitude of viewpoints concerning the thoughts about who Jesus is. And the reality is that they either take away from his divinity or from his humanity. They either take away from the reality of his sacrifice and why his sacrifice took place, and they take away from the reality of the salvation that you and I have experienced. So it really does matter what you believe about Jesus. You've got to understand that. And here's the thing. While there's this tendency to accept anyone as Christian, you can't do that on non-biblical standards. So let's take, for instance, Islam, Muslims. They are actually a very moral people. They are actually cracking down on immorality in many ways. They refuse to drink. Sexual immorality can get you killed. murder and sting, things like that, will result in your death. They're very moral people. Another group would be Mormons. Mormons are very moral people and very family-oriented. Now, we can't look at that and say, oh, well, they're okay, so therefore what they believe about Jesus is right. No, no, do you understand? That's the wrong standard. The standard that needs to be there for our understanding of who Jesus is has to be the Bible and what the Bible says about Jesus. That's reality. Because if we don't do that, we're going to have a problem. And the problem is ultimately going to be reflected in the issue of salvation, whether or not we're truly saved by faith. Because our faith has to be in who Jesus is in order for us to experience salvation from our sins. So this is why it's important. Now, when we get into the next lesson, we're going to now reflect on the pre-incarnate state of Jesus. Because Jesus is God, he's always existed, but he hasn't always been human because he became human when he was born of a virgin. So he's always been the eternal Son of God, but we're going to talk about that state, that pre-incarnate state, before the virgin birth. And that's what we're going to focus in on in lesson 7.